The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC8 and Big Steel. It's every Thursday, podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Gaslighting, a trending word that's everywhere. What exactly is it? Psychologically manipulating someone into questioning what is actually true.
You question your judgment on absolutely everything. My career started to suffer as a result.
Photos of her boyfriend with another woman were splashed across tabloids around the world.
And he says, if you saw the two of us together, you would see we're just friends, and you would be able to see what a psychopath you are.
The Crown's Rebecca Humphreys reveals the damage after years of being gaslighted.
When you confronted him, what happened?
Dr. Romney is breaking it all the way down.
It's, I'm going to dominate you. You're going to live in my reality.
Stop being so sensitive. You're crazy.
That just happened to me.
The definitive guide to spot and stop gaslighting.
People get stuck on, oh, you're gaslighting because you told me that never happened. That's halfway. The other half is when they dismantle you.
Ooh, that part.
I love your robe. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Gail. I like the color you got on.
Thank you.
Ice blue.
Ice blue. Mm-hmm. Ice blue. Ice blue.
I like it.
Well, you know what? Today, this is a deep one.
I have lots of questions.
Yeah.
Millions saw this video of a famous British comedian passionately kissing a woman in an alley. But the story behind it is anything but romantic.
Before landing a coveted role on the award-winning series, The Crown, actress Rebecca Humphreys thought she'd met her own Prince Charming, a gifted stand-up comedian known for his high-energy performances. About 5 years into their relationship, he was cast on the UK's popular reality show, Strictly Come Dancing. Rebecca's gut told her something was off about the new friendship he'd formed with his married dance partner. When she questioned him, he called her psycho, nuts, and mental. Then, on her birthday, he told her he was going out for an innocent drink with his dance partner, and Rebecca's worst fears came true. Her boyfriend, caught on camera, kissing his dance partner. Before she knew it, the explosive video made headlines around the world.
Psycho, nuts, mental. All classic signs of gaslighting. Rebecca came in from London to share her warning for all. So tell us about your relationship so we can kind of get the picture.
We were together for about 5.5 years. But what's so important for people to connect with is not that this relationship was toxic. This relationship had moments of pure romance and sensitivity and tenderness and intimacy.
Yeah.
But it was a cycle that on occasion took a darker turn. There were arguments, there were real moments of explosiveness. But then that would be papered over with that tenderness and intimacy that would come back in.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. The feeling is like someone pushes you out of a 15-story building and then catches you a foot above the pavement. And when they catch you above that pavement, you go, thank you so much for catching me. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive.
Yeah, it's very intoxicating.
It's so intoxicating. And then when that darkness comes again, you just ride it out because you're waiting for that next time that you get caught. It's like thrill seeking.
Yeah.
So what happened when you, because I'm sure you tried to confront him about this, right?
Okay. So that was my birthday when those pictures were taken. But I'm there at home and I'm going, I know that I sort of have a weird perception of what reality is, but I feel like it's not okay for him to be out with another woman. I feel like that is not all right, but I don't know if it is. Like, I don't know if I'm being needy or, you know, whatever it is about me.
Oh, that's deep.
He's appeared on, it's Dancing with the Stars over here, but in the UK, it's Strictly Come Dancing.
And he's,
he's done a great job, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes through the door and I say, I feel as though there is something happening here. And I remember it so clearly. He stands there in the doorway and I'm on the bed and I'm crying. And he says, I just feel like if you saw the two of us together, you would see we're just friends and you would be able to see what a psychopath you are.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. That's gaslighting.
And the next day, I get a text message saying, hi, I feel really bad about what happened last night. Maybe this weekend we can have a special day and I'll make up for it. And I go, okay, we're back on track. Everything's great. Cut to 3 days later, and he just says, the tabloids have got pictures of me and the dancer kissing. And I am telling you, I will never, ever forget the moment. I've described it as like a photocopier.
Yeah.
This white light just started here and went all the way through my body when he told me. And I just went, oh. And my face just lit up because I was right. And if I was right about that, what else have I been right about?
Yeah. Rebecca's ex apologized, saying, in light of today's newspaper, I would like to offer my sincere apologies for my actions. This is no excuse, but it was a one-off drunken mistake, which I'm truly sorry for.
There's no mention of me. There's no apology to me.
Right.
I hadn't been apologized to at all.
Yeah, now how did that make you feel?
That wasn't the first time I'd heard the words one-off drunken mistake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let me tell you.
It's right.
It had happened many, many years before when I had found messages between him and another woman, sexually explicit messages on Facebook. We shared a laptop.
Right.
And he obviously hadn't logged out. I was like, we're done here. A few days later, he's begging for me back, of course.
Right.
And he says, it was a one-off drunken mistake, and I'm truly sorry.
Got it.
And so when this statement comes out,
right,
almost 5 years later, I'm like, you have learnt that being sorry for a one-off drunken mistake works. And it's because I enabled it.
Yeah.
It's because the last time I chose to believe it, I say that gaslighting feels like tiny poison arrows. And you don't notice them. They're so light. But what they do is they inject poison into your body until poison is just pumping around your veins and you don't even know.
Yeah.
Can you give us any other examples of how you were gaslit?
Stuff like, you remembered it wrong. It didn't happen like that. It happened like this. Or, I didn't say that thing that you're saying hurt you. I didn't say it. And then I repeat it. He goes, well, okay, maybe I did, but I didn't say it like that.
Right.
Not in that tone, you know, in that way. And it sounds really small, but it's incremental.
Right.
Gaslighting is so insidious
and so subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That it can go on for years and years and years without you even realizing yep. that you're waking up in the morning with a part of you eroded away.
Yeah.
Over time, you're so used to being shut down that your instinct is to say, that hurt me. But I've been told so many times that actually my brain kind of doesn't work, that I'm just not going to say it.
Right.
And before you know what's happening, you question your judgment on absolutely everything. Until suddenly there you are in the grocery store one day, not even knowing what food tastes good in your own mouth.
Yep. Mm.
And you just don't know what to buy. You don't want to get things wrong. You're questioning your judgment at every turn. My career started to suffer as a result.
Mm.
I'm an actress and a writer.
Yep.
I use my voice. Well,
you lost your voice.
I lost my voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
My voice has been dismissed for so long that I start to not even utilize it or right. use it. The question is, when we're in relationships like this, what is it about us as women in particular who are prepared to betray ourselves and our feelings in order to sustain these relationships that hurt us?
Okay, now let's talk about that for yeah. a minute, because that's a deep subject.
Pop culture and the media told me that it's very important for me to have a relationship because I'm a woman.
Ah,
you know?
Straight up.
All I know yeah. is that...
Yeah, you have to have a man.
I have to have a man, otherwise what am I worth?
Right, because unfortunately that's what we're told. We're not exactly. worth anything unless we got a man. And that's the thing, I think we as women, we're supposed to give everything that's valuable, our self-dignity, to make allowances, to have this relationship
right.
that makes you worth something.
I mean, a huge thing that I have learned as a result of this relationship is that I don't have to stand next to anybody to be worth something.
There
right.
you go.
I don't have to wait for anyone to make me uninvisible.
Right.
Yeah.
I am in charge of my visibility.
Right.
People need to know that you think your life will be worse by leaving.
Yeah.
But when I left that relationship, that's when my life started.
Yeah.
It was like my sanity was handed to me.
Mm-hmm. In an
in
instant.
That moment
yep.
when he told me, the tabloids have got pictures of me and the dancer kissing. It was like a cleanse. It felt like pure empowerment.
Was it that moment that you decided to just break ties?
It was that moment.
Good for you.
And I was like, wow, I'm liberated.
Good for you.
Thank you.
So, one of the world's leading experts on gaslighting and an RTT favorite, Dr. Romani, is here to help us. She also has an awesome new podcast, Navigating Narcissism. Dr. Romani, how would you define mm-hmm. gaslighting?
Gaslighting is a form of psychological manipulation
right.
and
really?
Emotional abuse in which a person's reality is doubted. It is done repeatedly
right.
with the purpose of psychologically dismantling them and leaving them feeling as though they are mentally unwell and fully dominated by the gaslighter.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, a podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steels every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go.
Wow.
Right. This isn't just that never happened.
Right.
I think people get stuck on, oh, you're gaslighting me because you told me that never happened. That's halfway.
Right.
Yeah. The other half is when they dismantle you. It is more than being dismissive, because dismissive is sort of, you know, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But because gaslighting is a grooming process, it doesn't happen just one time. They got to figure out that they can even do this to you. They're testing the waters. Oh, she bit. I'm in. Now I can dominate. Because if somebody fights, it's the first time said, no
right.
fool, I said that.
Right? Exactly.
And then they say, no, you didn't, you're crazy. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not.
Not crazy.
But we're good, peace.
Right, exactly.
They're not going to be able to gaslight you, right? You just got the hell out of Dodge.
I love that. No fool. So gaslighting has a certain level of intention.
Intention to dominate. Right? So
right.
nobody's walking
okay.
into this saying, I'm going to gaslight her.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's, I'm going to dominate you. You're going to live in my reality. You're going to live in my narrative.
And yeah. actually, it was, I take charge, and it happened like this, and this is how it's mm-hmm. going to happen in the future as well.
Yeah.
But it's more complicated than that, Rebecca, because a lot of people don't want the relationship to end. And that's sort of the ace in the hole mm. that the gaslighter always has. So if you push a gaslighter, and you push back on it too much, I guess you're not that committed or interested. I guess you really don't want this. And you're thinking, actually, there's a lot of good days in this relationship. That's why these toxic relationships work. If they were always terrible, everyone would run screaming out after the second date. But they're not always terrible. In fact, sometimes they're so blissful, they feel extraordinary.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so when they're about to pull the plug, that's when people, no, you know what? Maybe I did hear it wrong.
Right.
Grooming process continues. It's a process of indoctrination until you really are a shell of yourself. There's no more you left.
Yeah.
They took it all.
Exactly. When you are kept caged for such a long time and you're being tamed, suddenly the accusations that you start throwing at someone feel erratic and they feel huge and
yep.
they feel psychotic.
Yeah.
And then that person goes, you see?
Hmm.
What's this?
Yeah.
What did I tell you? And you go, I see their point.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, this psychosis. I mean, a huge tragedy of it is that the biggest betrayal is to yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's almost as though the victim's perspective is like a gradual lowering of expectations.
Yes.
Right. That then, bare minimum in a relationship, how are you? Did you have a good day? You look nice. Those things become like the sun is shining on you.
You think you're in something that's actually wonderful.
Yeah, healthy.
And healthy.
You do. For that moment, that's a process called breadcrumbing, where you get by on less and less. Where you used to get a whole slice of bread, now you're just getting a few crumbs and you're calling it a meal.
That's deep.
That's good. It's good. And the nourishment that you feel from that.
Yeah, you're thinking, I'm fed.
Oh,
I'm full.
Absolutely.
And you hold on to those little crumbs.
Yeah.
And you turn that into a relationship in your mind.
So what does a gaslighter do? Once they realize, like in Rebecca's situation, right, he got caught in the alley kissing someone. It was all over the tabloids. His narrative is blown.
In most cases, the narrative doesn't get blown, right? The person has to live in this horrible uncertainty. The world doesn't find out. People are still doubting you. So this was an extraordinary circumstance because now it's been blown up. What happens to the gaslighter? The shame means that they're going to be on the attack. They're going to try to make themselves look good. This isn't who I really am.
Right.
You're judging me unfairly. They will immediately go into a defensive position. Gaslighters defend. Gaslighting is not lying. There's a difference.
Okay, break that
down. Everybody thinks, oh, you're just talking about lying. No, we're not. Because you can bring a liar around if you bring evidence. So if you said, I wasn't there, I wasn't there, I wasn't there. And I'm like, Jada, you were there, you were there. And then I said, Jada, here's a picture of you there. And you're like, you know what, Romani? Yeah, I didn't tell you the truth because I didn't want you to know you weren't invited, okay?
Right.
So a liar will cop to it when you give them the evidence.
Whoa.
A gaslighter will double down on their deceit when you catch them, and they'll turn it into you're crazy. So if you were gaslighting me, Jada, you'd say, wow, so girlfriend's paranoid now too. You need to get some mental health help because only a paranoid fool would be showing me a picture of where I'm at. So now it's become about me being crazy rather than you lying about being in that place. And most people in my position will be, I'm not crazy, I'm not crazy. But by now we've moved off the story of you having been at that place.
Oh my goodness.
That's gaslighting.
Woo! Yeah. Okay.
It's so unbelievably validating to hear it put in those...
I really mean that.
Like,
yeah.
It just made me think about when everything came out in the papers. Well, he was my ex-boyfriend at that point, and he did a stand-up comedy tour and said on the tour, I'm not a gaslighter, I'm just a bad boyfriend. It's like...
Right. And see, that right there is a gaslight. It's a game of narrative control because we get so lost in our narratives for what we want a relationship to be. We're more vulnerable to the gaslighter's tactics.
I feel like in order to be in a relationship, you have to have some idea of who you are yourself.
Yes. Oh, yes.
If I had my way, I would take every woman on the planet and send her to sort of a place where she's taken care of, but has to be alone 6 to 8 hours a day. Alone.
Yes.
Because what we do is we fetishize relationship. We fetishize
being
with other people.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Right? That's what we do.
Right.
And people actually feel shame when they're spending time alone. Think of how many women are reluctant to even go out and have a meal by themselves.
Yeah.
Because it looks bad. When people are in their post-gaslighting, post-narcissistic phase, I prescribe a 12-month detox.
Absolutely.
No relationships. No sex,
yep.
Get a vibrator,
yep.
Call it a day, but you are not touching anyone.
Yeah.
You need to find you. You need to figure out what kind of pizza you like. You need to figure out what music you really do like. You need to figure out what temperature you want that thermostat on.
Or you're going to fall susceptible.
Yeah. Yep.
Dr. Romani, what are more examples of gaslighting?
Stop being so sensitive. I've just told you your emotion is invalid.
Right.
Right? And then I'll take that one step further. Stop being so sensitive. You're crazy.
Right.
So any reaction I have is showing that I'm emotional, dramatic, sensitive. I got to bring that down because you're believing their characterization.
Right.
And now you don't ever allow yourself to voice an emotion again because anytime I do, I'm being sensitive. There's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So people hold themselves back. You must be paranoid. Are you sure you're not having memory problems?
Right.
Maybe you need to go see the doctor.
Hormonal also.
Yes. You're on your period. You're... perimenopausal, pick a hormonal time in a woman's life and it's open season. Another thing, can't you take a joke?
Oh,
that was a huge, huge one for me.
Yeah, that just happened to me.
So all of these things are meant to say, you're not allowed to have an emotion. Your feelings are not valid. There is something wrong with you. Gaslighters at the core of it are deeply insecure, right?
Right.
No one's on a power trip unless they feel this big inside.
Right.
They feel small. And so they make everyone else be as small as them.
And they are not necessarily aware all the time that they're doing it.
Not at all. There's no awareness. They won't go to therapy. So they're not showing up for help because they don't think they're doing anything wrong.
Does a gaslighter know that they're gaslighting?
Here's the problem with gaslighters. They're not in touch with their why. They're uncomfortable when they're not in the dominant position. Mm-hmm. So they're going to use whatever tools are at their disposal to maintain that dominant position, including the gaslighting. I'm going to take you down. I'm going to bring you down. And once I test the waters and I realize you're not leaving, I gotcha.
Right.
Rebecca, if you had left that relationship from the jump, that would have been over. That's why my eminent advice to everyone who's, how do I avoid this? Get out early. Early, early, early.
So how is a gaslighter created?
In the vast majority of cases, gaslighters are narcissistic. Let's call it 80%. But for some folks, the gaslighting is something they watched happen in their family.
Yeah.
They were regularly gaslighted by a parent, so it almost felt like that was a fair way of communicating. But people learn it. Especially if they saw the parents doing it with each other or step-parents, whomever.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we're arguing, so I'm going to deny it because that's how it was always done at my house.
Yeah.
I never said that.
That's a good point.
Okay, so Dr. Romani helped us put together some scenarios to show just how easily gaslighting can happen.
You were supposed to pick me up from work today. Did you forget?
You never asked me to pick you up.
Yeah, I did. Remember, I waited for like an hour and you didn't pick up your phone.
No, you're confused. I recall you telling me that you're catching a ride home with your coworker.
No, I sent you a text this morning as a reminder.
Babe, you're wrong. I never got a text. There's no text in here.
Look, look, look. It says it was delivered.
There's no text, okay?
Oh.
So that pushing away of evidence, see, she had the text showing I had sent you the text and no evidence, no thank you.
Great, so first I'm a bad boyfriend for not picking you up and now you're accusing me of lying? This is why we always argue. You're crazy. All these little interactions, like I'm sick and tired of your accusations and trust issues.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right, I am probably just being dramatic and I ask you to do too much.
I am a great boyfriend, and I'm sick and tired of being treated like this. You are a drama queen, and we cannot continue like this. Do you understand?
Oh, wow. Dr. Romani.
Do you see what she was doing? She was almost getting ahead of him. I don't remember things. I don't want to be dramatic. What happens if you stay in a gaslighting relationship long enough, you start doing their dirty work for them. You've internalized their language. Over time, that becomes your self-talk.
Wow.
Always anticipating being a failure.
Correct.
And also the, I'm sorry. When you come with a problem, suddenly before you know what's happening, you're the one apologizing.
Yeah.
Over time in a relationship like that, someone like her will stop speaking up because you can already anticipate the argument.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So gaslighting can happen in all kinds of relationships. Watch this.
What are we having?
I thought we could have pasta salad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, Jazz. You know those art director jobs we applied for forever ago?
Mm-hmm.
Lily just emailed me. I got an interview.
Good for you. I haven't heard anything. Are you ready for a job at this level?
Wait, I thought you said when I applied I could be great at this. I've been wanting this for a while now, and you don't think I'm ready?
It's not that. It's just that normally, this kind of job requires people to have a really clear vision.
I think I'm ready.
That's a gaslight, because you are ready. Your reality is like, I've got the experience. I know what I'm doing. I've even been offered an interview. I feel confident that I could do this.
You know what? Forget I even said anything. Your work is great. You belong on a billboard in Times Square or the cover of Vogue.
You can't be a little supportive.
And you can't take a little joke? Do you want me to be the kind of friend who only tells you what you want to hear? You're saying that you're ready for this, right? So you must be.
I was really excited. I've been wanting this job for so long, but now I'm second guessing it. I'm thinking about not even going to the interview.
So, Dr. Ramani, what happened there?
Part of gaslighting is that they consistently doubt your capacity to do something. This job's too big for you. Remember, it's keeping you small. And a lot of people don't recognize that somebody undercutting your abilities and telling you you're not ready when you inherently feel you are, because most of us undervalue ourselves. But when someone's trying to hold you back, can't be happy for you. And then at the very end, you belong on a billboard in Times Square. Yeah. So then they do this sort of shaming. It's a shaming and humiliating.
And you wouldn't expect that kind of behavior or response from somebody that's supposed
exactly.
to love you.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why then what does a person do? They're like, they must be right, instead of, who the hell are you to tell me I don't know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
That's not what most people are going to say. They're going to say they're trying to protect me.
Yeah. In my instance, I would be leaving the house for auditions, and as I left, barely looked up from whatever, the paper, and go, good luck, you probably won't get it, but do your best.
Yeah. You know, wow. just Bingo. That, super passive. Wow.
Yeah.
But Ooh. That, every
yeah.
time?
Yeah.
Yeah. For a long time?
Yeah.
Wow.
This next scenario speaks on that. If you have a hard time speaking up for what you deserve, watch this.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey, Rachel. I'm so excited to be here.
So, Paul, I have to say, I am so happy to hear that you are taking on the Simmons account. It's a brand new project, and there's just a lot.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going into it, and we think you're the right person.
Thanks, Rachel. I'm really flattered that you all picked me. I really love working here, and I'm definitely up for the task, but I did want to ask, with all this added responsibility, can I be compensated for the extra workload?
Wow, Paul. I'm a little surprised that's your first question.
I just thought that I might at least be able to renegotiate my rate or get paid for overtime. As you mentioned, it is a lot of work.
You're twisting my words. I thought this is what you loved doing. So you're saying you don't like this job? It sounds like you're just not really happy here. Is this not working for you?
Another thing that's gaslighting that people don't even know is something called pulling back. When a person makes a very reasonable ask, pay me more to do more work, and then you're met with, we're doubting your commitment to the job. There's other people who will take the job. Maybe we're not interested in you anymore.
No, that's not it. I'm happy here.
There are a lot of other candidates that are willing to take on this job at their current salary. It just seems like you're not interested, so I guess I don't really need to talk to my boss about it.
No, it's okay. I'll do whatever it takes at my same rate.
Okay, I really appreciate it. I know you can do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Break that down.
Again, that piece of the gaslighting of pulling back, we don't need you anymore. Guy wants to keep his job. No. Okay, I'll pull back. Now, this gets even more problematic when it's people who already don't feel their power in the world. Women, right. People of color, people of lower education or economic status. Mm-hmm. They already don't want to ask for a raise. Yeah. Oh, maybe I'm lucky enough to have the job. Right? Which is a self-gaslight. Yeah. No, they're lucky to have you if you're doing your job well. Once you make a need known, that need is shut down, and you are viewed as sort of bad or asking too much. And if that happens enough, that voice gets stolen, and they get what they want: power, control, dominance.
Jeez. Okay. So joining the table is Favor Campbell.
For years after her divorce, Favor was convinced she was insecure, jealous, and overly dramatic. She questioned her self-worth, her sanity, and says,
"Your advice, Dr. Romney, yes,"
helped her heal.
Come on out here, Favor.
Hey.
Hey, Favor. I like that name.
How are you? I have, like, Favor. Tears.
Yes. So nice to meet you. I'm so glad it made a difference.
I'm going to start by thanking you because it really, truly did help me to understand and to know it wasn't me. When you're in it, you don't know.
Right.
You have no idea. I was married for 16 years. It wasn't all the way bad. There was plenty of good moments, which makes you question the gaslighting. But the last few years of our marriage, every small argument was turning into a big argument, and we were just not meeting each other, and like it was just off. So I asked the question that I felt like I never had to ask my husband. I asked him if somebody else had his attention. I didn't think he necessarily, you know, was sleeping with somebody, you know, but he confirmed that. And I asked him who it was. He stonewalled me and would not tell me. And in fact, turned it around on me and said, you know, if you find out who this is, you will blow this out of proportion. And it's one of those situations where you start to doubt yourself because you're wondering, am I wrong for asking? He said, you're ignoring all the other things on how we got here. Now you're just focused on that situation. How do I not focus on it? He's like, if you blow it out of proportion, it could just be really bad. And I'm like, but what does that mean?
Right.
Like, what is going on? My daughter and I were going out to dinner, and she's all, yeah, when I saw Dad with so-and-so at church, it was like all the pieces floated together. that makes sense, that it's her.
Right.
So this has been the person the whole time, this person who you worked with for like 10 plus years, this person who babysat my daughter, this person who I've been to her house. When I found out that it was her, it was like I was wrong for finding out that it was her.
Right.
You know, like, and I would think to myself, what are you mad at me for? I'm the one that's like blowing this out of proportion, you know? We're trying to make sense of like, okay, am I overreacting? What, you know, like all that's going through your head and you just cannot make sense of it. And to this day, he's married to that person. But of course I was imagining and it wasn't that serious and all of those things, right?
First, he tried to make you feel like you didn't have a right to know.
Right.
That was the big glaring
gaslight. He turned the tables. That's what you were saying gaslighters do.
And that's it. And then all this, and you're going to blow this out of proportion is another gaslight move.
Exactly.
And you're overly dramatic again. The gaslight denying.
Yeah.
I'm even stonewalling. Stonewalling is a form of gaslighting.
Right.
And then disproportionate reaction, there's something wrong with her.
Yeah. But even earlier on, the gaslighting things came out. Our first date, right? He picks me up and there's two other girls in the car. So at first I was like, you know, that's our first date. And he said he was giving them a ride home. So I was like, one of the girls in the car, she likes you, but I'm not gonna make a big deal about it because I don't wanna be that girlfriend, right? I kid you not, he kept constantly saying, no, she doesn't like me. No, she doesn't like me. We ran across her later and she ended up like having a crush on him. It took three, almost 4 years of us being married to where one day he was just like, yeah, she was being flirty with me. And for 3 or 4 years, I'm thinking like, I saw it and you deny it. Why would you? And kind of laughed it off.
Yeah.
Here's what's so interesting. I don't want to be that girlfriend. There it was. Something happened that you were not comfortable with, with that other woman. When we say, I don't want to be that person, I don't want to be drama, I don't want to be high maintenance.
Needy.
Right. That's all, needy.
Yeah.
We've already internalized this energy of my feelings, my needs have no place in this relationship.
Don't count it's this dynamic. It's all about him.
That happens so often. Yeah. One of the other components with him, with the gaslighting, was the facade. I mean, he could put on for people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And then at home, you're a completely different person.
And then you go home with them and they go, that's not the real me. Mm-hmm. You know the real me. It does something to your ego because you're like, this person wants to share their actual selves with me. Mm-hmm. And that's intoxicating. Mm-hmm. But what is actually happening is they're showing you they're two different people. And before you know what's happening, you're like, I feel special because I'm allowed to see this person.
Exactly.
How they are. Yeah.
What did Dr. Romney say that you found helpful?
Everything. Every video, you know, I feel like a groupie. Like, I would pull up her videos. I would go back and listen to certain things that I knew were very characteristic of him as I uncovered that he was narcissistic and the gaslighting. And it just brought peace because it helped me to say, okay, Favor.
You're not crazy.
Yeah.
And if you have even one person in your life that's your anti-gaslighter who says, I saw that. You are not crazy. That is one of the most curative tools we could possibly have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, ladies. This was a powerful, powerful table. Dr. Romney's podcast, Navigating Narcissism, is available wherever you get your podcasts. It is fantastic. I like this new donut glaze nail.
Oh, that's pretty.
Right?
Yeah.
It's donut glaze. I'm kind of obsessed
with it. I cut my nails. I get to that point where they get to a length and then I'm like,
well,
done.
You know what? You be doing a lot.
One more.
To join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation, follow us at facebook.com/redtabletalk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steel, it's every Thursday,
y'all already know.
A podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.